You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
That's right. Earlier I spoke with Molokai Kulomatangi from Massey University, who spent the day as an observer in Tonga. I started by asking him how the day went and what the voter turnout was like.
By all accounts, it was a good election. It was, there weren't any problems that I heard of. And the polling stations that we visited were well run. They were secure. The police were there. And there was an orderly running of things at those stations, and even during the counting of the ballot papers, it was really good, and people were very interested. There were some who hung around the building outside, but I think they were just waiting for the results to be announced, because they had to be announced at the end of the counting. By law, it has to be announced outside so that people can see it. But it was good. The weather was good, which helped the turnout. The turnout was, I thought that the turnout was good because I spoke to some of the supervisors at the polling stations. But it was good also because the youth vote, the youth got out to register, especially between the ages of 21 and 25. I'm waiting to see, of course, the confirmation of the numbers, but it seems like that the turnout wasn't as great as people had wished. But still, it was good. It was a good election. There were no anomalies, and there were no problems to speak of.
So the New Zealand media is calling it a landslide victory to the Democratic Party. Pardon me, to the Democratic Party. They won 14 out of 17 of the electorate seats. Was this expected, or did it surprise you a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it was... I suppose you could call it a landslide victory. It was unexpected. According to the best opinions, Bohiva and his team, to get about maybe 5-6 seats in parliament and 7 at most, but to have won 14 seats is incredible. And obviously, Bohiva continues to be a person who is very popular amongst the people, and he's doing something that people want him to do. And his endorsement of his team was enough to get them over the line. There are also, of course, other issues that shouldn't be dismissed when we're talking about the reasons why Bohiva and his team were elected. But it was a great victory for him and his team.
Bohiva was stood down by the king earlier in the year. To see him come back with such a victory at the snap election, do you think that indicates a bit of pushback against the monarchy from the people?
Yeah, look, I think that's probably part of the reasons for Bohiva's victory. There's also, I think, other issues at play as well. You see, Bohiva here in Tonga, and also amongst the diaspora, the overseas Tongan communities, it's getting to the stage where, particularly for his for his supporters, for his fanatical supporters, let me put it like that, he can't do anything wrong. And even when charges are leveled against him with good evidence, people tend to turn a blind eye and just go on supporting him. So for those people, no matter what you put in front of them, it won't sway their opinion of Bohiva. So there's that element as well. It's in the sort of the bigger picture. There are other issues at play here, in addition to the disaffection because of the dissolution of parliament. So we need to think carefully about those other reasons as well.
With 14 of the electorate seats being snapped up by the Democratic Party, there's obviously a couple of losers coming out of this election. Who are the notable people we might be missing in the next parliament that forms out of this election?
We have to remember the people that that are in parliament who had opposed or who Pohiva had clearly said that they shouldn't be in parliament. Of course, this included the two cabinet ministers that Pohiva sacked in his previous government, the deputy prime minister and former deputy prime minister and the former minister of finance. And so they had been successful in getting into parliament. And so, so obviously, this is what I was saying before about there's somebody else at play here. And Pohiva is not universally popular, that his wishes, people follow his wishes, to the letter. So there's one or two former MPs who probably would have played a great roles in Parliament, certainly in the government if they were able to get into Parliament. This was former Minister of Finance, Dr. Isaac Eke, who was a very credible MP and also a very effective Minister of Finance. He has lost out. I think it's a big loss. I'm not saying it's a big loss because of, he stood independently and not stood with the pro-democracy candidates. But it's the skill level and the experience and the knowledge that Dr. Eke would have brought to Parliament, maybe into a government cabinet, that's now lost. So that's one of the notable omissions, I think, from the next Parliament.
So looking forward to the next Parliament, there is obviously a bit of a history between Pohiva and the monarchy. He was recommended by the Speaker of the House as inadequate, and that led to the snap election. So moving forward, do you expect to see any changes in the, I suppose, the constitutional style of Tonga, especially coming out of the symposium that was held a couple of weeks ago?
I think the symposium, the national dialogue on democracy, I think we need to see more of that, because that'll help the level of understanding of democracy, and also help those in power to understand democracy better and how to work within a democracy and the very government. So that's needed. Going forward, the old adage of if you have do things the same way, you'll get the same result. And that's one of the issues, because it's looking like that the former cabinet ministers who worked under Pohiva in the previous government will get to form the next government. Now, the problem is that if the cabinet and this prime and the next prime minister, and Pohiva looking like he will be the next prime minister, if they perform in the same way, do things in the same way, and so on, we will get to the problem that saw the dissolution of Parliament in August and so on. So to change the result, you've got to change the way you do things, and if possible, to change the cabinet makeup to ensure that you recruit others such as the independents and such as the nobility into the cabinet, because that'll prevent this kind of infighting and oppositional politics that saw the parliament being dissolved and government being made into a caretaker government. So what I'm saying is there's an opportunity here.
So the ball's in Pohiva's park to make some changes.
It is, and there's an opportunity here for him to make sure that the next government is a government of national unity, and not to be bogged down by this oppositional and adversarial politics that created so many problems for the last government.
So just finally, I just wanted to ask a wider question. You talked about the wider diaspora of the Tongan community. Mm-hmm. We've obviously had a couple of issues in the last few weeks in New Zealand between fighting between Tongan and Samoan communities. Is this mm-hmm. something that the next parliament will look to address, or is this beyond their capacity?
No, I think the next parliament has a role to play and to help leaders in the community in New Zealand to ensure that, you know, that these things don't take place again, and that you know, that people are informed and or better informed, and also to, just to take more control, you know, as much as you can over over people, particularly in these, you know, sort of public events. So I certainly think that the next parliament should have a role. Maybe send a delegation to New Zealand just to have a chat with the community and make sure that, you know, that the things are under control and we don't see a repeat of the problems.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.